Last year, 2018, late in the year, the Gibson Brothers released Mockingbird, and the notice went far and wide that this is not the bluegrass sound of the Gibson Brothers, but it is the excellent, excellent music sound of the Gibson Brothers. They never stray from that. Mockingbird is a collection of Americana, some roots country, absolutely gorgeous music, done only as they can do it. It's a whole new sound. It's a departure from bluegrass. They're not leaving bluegrass, but the album is wonderful. My guest in the second hour is Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers. We're going to talk about Mockingbird at length, how it came to be. Fascinating story and kind of a bold step, but it's working out very, very well. They still do bluegrass, which Eric will talk about, but we'll get into the album at length, our conversation with Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers about the new and exciting album, Mockingbird. I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass, Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, man. It's always good to chat with you. And we were talking right before the air. I don't think that I've physically seen you. The last time being at Grey Fox a year or so ago. And I'm just always happy to chat with you. And the band is always a great band. Everything you and your brother are doing is fine music. And it's nice to say hello, Eric Gibson, again.
Well, good to talk to you again. It's been too long.
It has been. And the reason that we're talking, I guess it was November. Was it November that Mockingbird came out on Easy Eye, the label Easy Eye?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
And Mockingbird is got so many great write-ups. I mean, just the reviews kept coming and coming from all sorts of publications and people that had heard it. Then you released the first single, which was the REM tune, which you did a great job of making it into this sound we're going to talk about that you now have for the Mockingbird album. Everybody heard you release that, and that just went, everybody caught on right away. And I have to tell the listeners, when you listen to Mockingbird, you're going to immediately say, that's absolutely the Gibson Brothers. There's nothing, there's no hiding your sound. It's just that you're playing different kinds of music and maybe different music instruments behind it, but it's a fabulous Gibson Brothers sound that you bring to this music on Mockingbird.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a departure. I mean, we make no bones about it. It's not a bluegrass record.
No.
And we let people know that right off the bat. And we're still playing bluegrass. We just went out and played a weekend of it this past weekend, and we're going back out and doing it again this weekend. But we're mixing it up some. We're also supporting this record and going out with an electric band, probably about half the time. Half the time bluegrass and half the time that. It seems that's the way it's been working of late. But it was a really fun record to make.
It's a great record to listen to. How long, let me ask you this, and we'll get into a little bit more of the content as we're hinting at what the album sounds like. How long was this idea germinating before you decided to do Mockingbird?
You know, it's funny how it happened. We were heading north from North Carolina after IDMA in the fall of 2017, and we'd just done In the Ground, and we wrote every one of those songs, and we were very proud of it, and it did pretty well. And we're just saying, what are we going to do next? And we did not really have a bunch of bluegrass songs ready to go, not that we wrote, you know, and we really like doing our own stuff. But we did have a bunch of songs that we've written down through the years that maybe didn't fit bluegrass so well. And, you know, you write them and think maybe you'll find a home for them someday. And we thought, well, why don't we demo some of that stuff? Why don't we record some of that stuff, not necessarily as an album, but and we agreed to call our friend Dave Ferguson, Fergie, down in Nashville, who we'd met 20 years ago. And he worked on our first Nashville record that we ever did, Another Night of Waiting, yeah, with Alan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And we'd see him through the years, and in the meantime, he's done all this cool stuff, like recorded records by Johnny Cash and John Prine and Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson and people like that. So we thought he might be a cool guy to produce some stuff on us, and we texted him, and he said, yeah, I'd love to. And then 4 days later, we get a call from our manager that said, Ferg's first order of business is your producer is to find a co-producer, his buddy Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys.
There you go. See, now I knew that.
He wants to write with you, and he wants to record with you, And we said, well, yeah, let's meet this guy and see what he's up to. And that's how that all started. It was just one of those things that fell out of the sky that you hope can come along. You never dream it will.
Did you know of the Black Keys before this?
Oh yeah. I'd seen them on TV, you know, and heard them on the radio, heard them on commercials and stuff. I didn't realize how many commercials I heard them on. So, you know, but I remember seeing Dan and Patrick on Saturday Night Live and just thinking, gosh, that's rock. That's rootsy and it's fresh at the same, you know, it's old and new at the same time.
It is. And for the listeners, and Dan Auerbach, who he's talking about from the Black Keys, it's like a, it's kind of blues, but it's not. I think roots of rock is the best description. They have a very distinctive sound. And then he's released some solo albums on his own also, which kind of deviate from the Black Keys sound. That's probably what he was thinking about when getting involved with you guys.
Yeah, so we started talking about it in November of 2017, and then we got down there the first week of December, and we wrote with Dan for 2 or 3 days, and it just went so well. You know, just we liked him immediately. He's a roll up your sleeve, let's get to work kind of guy, like we are, and just full of energy and ideas, and we hit it off immediately. And so we wrote in December, and then he went out on the road after the holidays, and we couldn't get together again until March. And we got together for 2 or 3 more days, wrote a bunch more. I think we wrote like, in between the December and the March trips, we wrote maybe 15 songs together.
Uh-huh.
And we ended up going right from the writing to the studio and recording them. And he brought in an all-star band of guys that he's assembled, that he's working with, that legendary session guys that haven't been, in recent years, haven't been used as prominently as they were in the 70s. In 80s, but my gosh, can they still play? And they're amazing. It's like Gene Chrisman, who played, and Bobby Wood, the Memphis Boys, who played with Elvis and Aretha, and just, you know, Billy Sanford, who played with Roy Orbison, and it just and played on so many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of sessions, and it was just. You know, it was a really exciting experience.
It really works well. There's 11 songs on the album, if I haven't said that already. The first tune is Traveling Day, which kind of starts off nice and slow. And actually, you could probably put that as recorded on a bluegrass album by the Gibson Brothers. It's not automatically excludable. You know what I mean?
Well, I thought that was a brilliant choice to be the first song.
Go ahead.
Because it's not as big a jump from bluegrass. You know what I mean? And we do that song in our bluegrass shows.
I see.
And what I love about that song is it sounds great with just two guitars.
Yeah,
you know?
It's beautiful.
But we do it in our bluegrass shows, but we do it in our electric shows also. But it's just, we wrote that with Dan and Dave Ferguson. That's the first song we wrote when we got together. Ferg had just lost his stepfather just a few days prior, and Dan brought that up. We're sitting around his kitchen table in his studio, and Dan said, Fergie lost his stepdad, and we got talking about it, and he talked about how brave his father was in the face of death, and we said ours was too back in 2012, and we just were talking about that, and bam, we wrote a song, and I thought it was special immediately, I still think it is.
It is, and it's perfect because that's the opening number, and then make no mistake about it, Cool Drink of Water is the big step. It's the big step.
Yeah, that's more slapping you across the face, this is not bluegrass, this is different.
here's the drums, you're going to hear them again, but here's the drums and the electric, that's one of my favorite upbeat tunes on the album right now.
Well, yeah, we wrote that with Big Al Anderson I don't know if you remember NRBQ.
Okay.
Yeah, he and Dan. Every day Dan would bring in, it would be Dan, Lee, and me, and one other person. And so, Ferg, we didn't even know who it would be each day. And Ferg said, we got some ringers today. And this particular day, it was Big Al, and we wrote that song.
That's one of my favorites. There's a couple that are just really, really clearly upbeat, and I say bordering on rock. I think Americana is a good description, but
yeah, but some of them are rock. You know, like, yeah. I think that one
Lay Your Body Down, I think, is
that's a rocker. Yeah. You know, to me that sounds like almost like an Eagles
yes.
song.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of influences on this record, and you know, but we made no bones about that when it was coming out. And,
oh yeah,
but. Yeah,
it's a great top to bottom, and we don't need to break down every song, but there's some that are indicative of what you're doing, and those are just a couple of those. Sweet Lucinda, I think, is instantly I wrote down the twangiest of all of them. That's going to hit you right in the eyes as a country song.
That one is very fun to play live too. You know, when we play electric, I'm playing Telecaster, and. That we have the guy who taught me how to play banjo and taught Lee how to play guitar has joined their band as a steel guitarist and electric guitarist, and he plays slide on that one, and we do a twin part on it between Telly and slide Les Paul, and it's just a real grooving fun
is.
Song.
Oh, it's great. And I'm gonna
fun to sing.
I'm gonna skip
fun
down.
To sing.
I'm gonna skip down to I'm a Better Man because I want to ask you who's playing the organ in the intro on that.
It's Bobby Wood, and we wrote that with Bobby, and I can't remember if Bobby's playing the lead. There's a B3, and there's it might be Michael Rojas that is doing the lead.
Okay,
I can't remember. It all happened so fast, but Bobby Wood came up with played on Sweet Caroline. You know, he came up with that iconic. Which was originally played on the piano, but then they did it on trumpets. But he came up with that line that everybody sings along with.
Yeah.
He did.
It immediately came back to my mind. I didn't make that connection, but you're right. There it is.
It's so funny. When we wrote I'm a Better Man, he was playing organ. That's the first time I've written with somebody playing organ. And Dan Lee and I had our guitars out, and we wrote that song, and we just started laughing when we got done because Dan said, that's a big boy song right there. like this song's no joke, you know. And it is a real cool song.
It is. And the vocals, your vocals are always a big part of the Gibson Brothers. I was wondering this before I go any further. When you were researching for the Brotherhood album, did any of these sounds come to you then? Because I know you listened to so many tunes and so many, and they weren't all bluegrass or country. You must have gone through just looking for harmonies. And I wondered if any of those ideas came from that search.
I know that Lee and I honed what we do a lot better as a result of that Brotherhood record. Because we noticed how all these brothers that we love kind of gave up some of their individuality when they would hit their harmonies,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And would just become one. They're singing two notes, but it's like it's coming out of one mouth.
Well, I remember you telling me how much better you felt you sang in harmony after going through that process.
I think we do. Yeah. I really do. And I don't. I mean, everything you do, you build upon. And my it's funny. My son's been downloading stuff. He's downloading Gibson Brothers stuff. I'm like, but I have all these CDs in the house. You know, I want them on my phone. But so anyway, we're driving in the car, and he's playing songs that we recorded, 15 years ago. And I cringe at some of my harmonies. You know, it's like I'm thinking, dang it, I'm better. We're better now.
Well, you're always improving.
And my brother said, that's what I was complaining about. Can we go back and recut such and such a song? And he goes, Eric, he said, everybody starts somewhere, and sometimes you just got to live with it. I'll be saying that about these songs 20
you
years
will, from now. You and people, and this, I didn't come up with this phrase, but albums and songs recorded are snapshots.
Yeah.
And that's the
yeah.
best way to do it. And so it's a snapshot of then, and you can do them differently, but you don't go back and try to I know that's not what you meant, but I mean, yeah, those are snapshots of what.
No, I do. I mean, and you think about it. I think about some recordings that I loved when I was a kid, and I thought they were perfect, and I hear them now, and they're not perfect, but I still love them. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And they are what they are, and it's not supposed to be perfect anyway.
No, it's not. it's not. It's supposed to be the Gibson Brothers in your case, and it, like I said, this album is 1,000%. Gibson Brothers. It's just, there's no mistaking the talent and the thought and what you guys are doing here. As soon as you put it in, you know right away this is the Gibson Brothers. And to me, call it bluegrass, call it whatever you want on previous albums, it doesn't matter because this is just great. They're just great songs, and you do them so well.
Well, thank you. I am proud of it. You know, I just it was kind of a little bit out of our comfort zone, but it wasn't that uncomfortable. You know,
no.
Once we got into it, it felt very comfortable.
I think it comes off that way, Eric. It comes off like, yeah, you could. That's what I keep saying. This is the Gibson Brothers, and it comes off like, yeah, you could have done this anytime you wanted to.
Well, it's funny because we've been playing. Like I told you, we've been going out playing some electric shows, quite a few actually, and we're bringing out some of our songs we've always done, and they still sound like us. You know, our drummer records everything we do, and I'm hearing old like Highway and Railroad Line and Homemade Wine and these songs we've been doing a lot, and I hear the electric versions. It's still the Gibson Brothers, you know.
That's exactly
the core is still there, you know,
exactly.
and it's just different in instrumentation and. But we are having a lot of fun, and it feels so to me when we go back out and play bluegrass, it feels so fresh, you know, because we're doing other stuff too.
That's a good point.
And I just feel very excited every time I play, and not that I wasn't before, but sometimes you can get lulled into being on autopilot a little bit, and you don't even realize it. You know what I mean?
No, you need to change things up, not for the sake of change, but because it brings other sounds to you.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize I needed it.
Yeah.
You know, I will say we were restless, but I didn't know how much I needed it because, you know, and I started telling friends about. I kept quiet about it for a long time, and I started telling friends about it, and they said, "I know this is going to be exciting because I can hear it in your voice. This is the most excited." That you sound
that's
about music
good.
In a long time. So
that's good. So you were excited. That and everybody knew it. So that's great.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I'll be truthful with you. I was nervous. I was nervous, somewhat, because I knew we'd catch some heat, which we have.
Sure.
But from the purists, you know, I love bluegrass. The other day, I was listening to bluegrass, and I. Just like I always say, when I hear a song that I love, I start driving too fast. And, you know, we've made 13 bluegrass records, you know, through the years, at least 13.
Wow.
And we'll make more. But this sure as heck was fun to do.
Well, you aren't leaving bluegrass. You're just saying, come here with us for a while.
Try this.
Yeah, try this. So listen to this.
No, I'm not. It's like I can't. My brother said that the other day. We were doing this, well, maybe a month ago. We were playing down in North Carolina, and somebody came up and said, "Oh, we heard you'd sold all your Henderson guitars, and you bought electrics, and you were leaving the bluegrass." And Lee got on stage playing a Henderson. I had my Henderson, and he said, "You know, we're not leaving bluegrass." He said, "You know how long it took for us to be accepted? You think we're just going to leave?" anyway.
I was down at the bottom of the list of the songs, and I think the most different song on this album is the very last cut because of the chords that I hear. Not Going to Be Tonight. When I listen to that, I'm thinking, well, that's a gorgeous song, and it's a great lyric. It's a great that playing in that to me, as I mentioned earlier, you could have put Traveling Day on a bluegrass CD from the last song you could not.
Probably not.
It's just a whole different chord structure.
To me, that song feels like a Memphis soul song. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I love it. It's just, but like it is very different. That was my friend Ferg's favorite song on the whole album. He didn't write it. We wrote it with Pat McLaughlin and Dan. And to me, that sounds like it's right out of Memphis.
Exactly. You're right. It's Memphis. And I was looking for a way to describe it, and I knew the chords and the guitars in between the things were different, the different sound, and I think that to me is the most distinctive of everything that's on the album. It's great. I listen to this album, Eric, and I just smile. And I have such a good time listening. I'm thinking, this is... And I keep thinking, you guys must be smiling. You're telling me back that now. I know you're having a good time, but I just think this is just a... It's just a really fun, great album, And you guys are just knocking it out of the park on from switching gears like this.
Well, thank. I mean, I think it, people. I think some people are surprised. You know, Tim O'Brien heard it before it came out. He was at Ferg's studio, and Ferg played him some of it, and he said, "You know, I wouldn't have seen this coming, but it fits those guys like a glove."
It, absolutely.
And for, you know, Tim's a hero of mine. For me to hear that early on, I thought, okay, we're okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before it came out. So I mean, and Tim's a chameleon. You know, Tim can do anything he wants and does.
He does
anything he wants.
A couple of years ago, he started releasing like one song at a time because they were all different. And he did it. Pompadour was the name of the album. He just did them all differently. And it's like he did some funk. He did. So, yeah, Tim does. If Tim likes it, he's coming from all different angles.
Well, we got together with Tim and recorded a Christmas song with Dan Auerbach and Ferg back in towards the end of the year. I don't know what they'll ever do with it, but it turned out great. You know, but so Dan, he's been writing with Dan as well. And I think the first single off Tim's new record was one he wrote with Dan. I'm just honored to kind of be that we've kind of been, you know, plucked out of whatever world we've been in. And, you know, I'm honored to be in that circle as well.
Sure.
Those circles, you know,
absolutely.
Because those guys, they love music as much as anybody I've ever met. And, they just, you know, Dan, when you're writing these songs and he's so excited. He's like, he's just like we are about it, you know. And I don't know. I don't mean to gush, but it's
it's
been a heck of a great experience.
Please gush. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned Dan because there's a vocal sound on Come Down. And Dan Auerbach, to the listeners, often sings into what I would call a harmonica microphone on the recordings. And it's just that weird sound. There's a chorus. There's a vocal in the chorus on Come Down. That makes me think of that, and I don't know what effect is being used, but you know what I'm talking
Dan's
about.
Dan's actually, what's funny is, Dan, we wrote that song, and we went in and recorded it, and I was supposed to sing the part that Dan ended up singing.
Oh.
And I do live. But he came in, and he said, how about you try it like this, and it sounded so good. I said, Dan, why don't you sing it? And he just kind of looked at me and said, okay. So it was really neat to get him to have a prominent spot in one song. You know, he's playing guitar all over the record, but and he's singing harmonies all over the record too. But to give him, he took a lead on the chorus.
When I bring up these silly concepts, when I say harmonica mic, it makes a smaller.
Like a bullet mic. Yeah, like that kind of thing. Yeah,
that's what he always.
Yeah, he has a certain effect that he uses a lot, and. But it works for him.
It works. Listen, I'm going to let you get back to whatever you're doing, but I want to know about the decision to release the first single, and then there was a video of Everybody Hurts, which was the R.E.M. song. How do you make those decisions? I've never been on the inside of a record production.
Well, you know, actually that was they released Lay Your Body Down first.
Oh, they did? Okay.
And then a month later, or maybe, about that, right after they released Lay Your Body Down, they flew us out to Ohio, out to Oklahoma City, there's a filmmaker, video guy out there that they like, who works with the Flaming Lips a lot, and we ended up filming that video out there, and you know, the decision to do an REM thing was a last second thing, and it wasn't even supposed to be on the record. Dan had, I don't even know what Dan was going to do with it, but he said, we'd like to record one cover. And it turned out so nice. And by the way, John Prine came to the studio that day.
No kidding.
We met John Prine that day.
Oh, wow.
That we cut that song. And anyway, it turned out so well that Dan called me after I got home and said, you know, I wanted to kind of get REM's blessing. He said, so I sent it to him. He said, and they flipped over it. They love it. And they agreed to share the song on all their social media outlets. They shared it on their website and on their Twitter and their Facebook, everything. And they really liked our version of it. And that one has done very well on the Americana charts. And the album's gone up to number 7 on the Americana charts.
So that's something.
That's, to me, I mean, I'm I'm really pleased with that.
Every review turned out nice. Every review, yeah. Every review is like from, I'm talking from every publication that you would care to listen or read that would have access to music that we would call, loosely call Americana roots or country, whatever they want to call Mockingbird. Everybody loves it. And they're like, some of them are like, who are these guys?
Yeah. Well, I'm very pleased. I just hope we can keep it rolling, you know? And I think there's a way, you know, like, we're just talking, like, Dan keeps saying, like, when we do it our live shows, you should play bluegrass too. Like, and we're just trying to figure out a way to do it because everything else is amplified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would like to have maybe at some point figure out a way to do like a bluegrass section in the middle of it, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. Because I think some of the audiences that we're playing to it'd be new to them, you know?
True.
We'll see where it goes and we're figuring it out as we go. But we're still doing a lot of bluegrass festivals as a bluegrass band. I think that'll always be the case. That people keep hiring us to do that.
So. They will. Eric Gibson, thanks. I figure everybody can find what we're talking about and where you're appearing, either on a bluegrass scene or this new scene with Mockingbird on your website.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Definitely, GibsonBrothers.com. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. Listen, baseball season starts soon.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
I know you are.
I just love it. It's the only thing that's ever competed with music for me is baseball. I love it. I'm addicted.
Well, that's great. I know you love it. We've talked about that before and how much you're into. You were a pitcher. You were the pitcher guy.
Yeah, I loved it. And my youngest son is pitching in college now. And
how about that?
He's having a great time.
Good. Well, enjoy all that. Enjoy all that stuff. Enjoy touring with the Mockingbird sound and whatever else you want to do. And I enjoy the fact that you're available to talk about these things. I really do. It means a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Sure, man. Listen, go back to do whatever you're going to do. And, Eric, I'll catch you somewhere this year, I promise.
All right. Good.
All right. See you, man.